Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Perek Yudalad, the 14th chapter in the book of Mishle. This is a Perek which has 35 psukim, and we can really look at it in three different ways of breaking it down. So the way the Da'at Mikra, Rav Yehuda Kiel, as the editor, suggests over here is that there are three different types or groupings of psukim in this Perek. One is psukim which are connected through a parallel word, a shared word. And these can be across the perek. So for instance, some of the main words, the milim manchot in this chapter are iveles, which is foolery, yashar, straightness or uprightness, acharis, end, re'ehu, one's friend, and yiras, Hashem, and fear of God. You will find these words tracking themselves throughout this entire perek. There is another group of psukim, and those are psukim which stand alone or in contrast or completion of the previous pasuk. So these are psukim beis, dalet, hey, yud, yud tes, chof aleph, chof gimel, chof dalet, chof hey, lamed, lamed aleph, lamed gimel, and lamed dalet. Some of them are contrasting to the previous psukim, and some of them stand alone as their own ideas. And finally, there are groupings of psukim which are grouped around certain themes. So for instance, psukim aleph to dalet, 1 to 4, are about wisdom and honesty versus arrogance. Psukim Yud Aleph to Yud Tes are different types of contrasts. So they all share in common that there are immediate contrasts between the Rasha and the Yashar, the unprincipled heart and the Ishtov, the Pesi and the Arum, the Chacham and the Ksil, the Ksarapaim and the Ishmizimos, and the Ra'im and the Tovim are all included in that group. And Psukim Chav Dalet to Chav Zayin is the characteristics of a Chacham, of a wise person. So lots of different ways of looking at this Perek. Once again, it's hard to see a narrative or one story here because there is a larger groupings of ideas which are to be found. We're going to look at three psukim individually, and of course this is simply an invitation to look further into the Perek and appreciate the many, many, many different levels of this Perek, but let's take a quick look at this Perek. So number one is the Pasuk Aleph, which is Chachmas Noshim Bon Sabesa, the wisdom of the woman builds the house, Viveles, but folly, Viodeo Terate Haherseno, will destroy it ultimately. What is this referring to? So, interestingly enough, the way it is understood is as follows. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Amun Aleph, says the following. This is the difference between the wife of Korach and the wife of On ben Peles. Who was Korach? Who was On ben Peles? So, interestingly enough, the wife of Korach was somebody who goaded him on to carry on his nefarious rebellion against Moshe. Whereas the wife of On ben Peles was a supporter of Korach, but ultimately he left the communion. He left the rebellion of Korach because his wife felt that it was inappropriate, and not only did she feel it was inappropriate, she had a very interesting ruse in which she chased away the men who came to summon him and protected him. In other words, a lot of the best decision making is made by the woman of the house. The Me'ar Shiloach says this actually is not referring to specific people, it's actually the psychology, one of the many differences between men and women. And that is that the way he explains it is that, generally speaking, a man is the kind of person who will be the one who wants to do things immediately. He wants to be involved in something. He sees a project, he's going to invest himself fully into it. And a lot of times it's the woman who says, you know, why don't we think about this before investing in that company, before making that decision, before getting out of the car and shouting at that person, before taking the right turn without looking at the map. Why don't we just think about this? And oftentimes it's the bina, which is represented in the feminine over here, but it's really a midah more than it is a person, is what calms a person down, what gives a person more of a longitudinal perspective. And he says this refers to even the way that one invests money. It's fascinating. He says that so many times it's the men who'll take a risky investment, he'll trade immediately, he'll make all the necessary decisions, and many times it can be successful, but many times it can also not be successful, and it'll be the woman who's more willing to keep the savings to make sure we're happy with what we have rather than ultimately investing in the future. This is quoted in the Beis Yaakov in Chayesara Parsha Test. Very, very fascinating perspective on what this is, what the Chochmas Noshim Bonsa Besa is. We turn to look at Pasuk Chof Ches, the 28th Pasuk, very famous Pasuk, which says, Barov Om Hadras Melech. In the numerous people is the glory of a king. Uve Efes La'oim Mechitas Razon. Without a ruler, a nation is ruined. This is a very famous pasuk, and it's quoted in numerous Gemaras across Shas, generally around one principle. Here's one example. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Gimel and Aleph tells us that that if they were in the Beis Midrash and they were going to be doing, Havdalah at the end of Shabbos, Beis Shammai says that we should do it, or each person does their own Havdalah. Beis Hillel says, no, we all do it together. Why? Because Barav Amhadras Melech. This is a principle, la halacha, which means to say that it is better, as is very explicit in Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch summarizes this very clearly in Siman Yud Beis, that if a person has a decision to make whether davening in a local minyan or whether davening in a shul, there's not even a question that it is preferable, not only just for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but for the sake of their own tefillah, that they go to a shul, a place where there's more people there. And in fact, not going to a shul is therefore detracting from the Barav Hadras Melech, is considered a negative thing. This is a guiding principle. It's brought up in Hilchos Megillah. It's much better to be davening in a shul where there's Barav Hadras Melech, which actually extends the idea of the Pirsumi Nes, or the explication of the miracle, rather than to be davening in a convenient air-conditioned basement, wherever that may be. It's very clear in Halacha that Barav Hadras Melech is one of the operating tools of understanding how one's davening works. What is the mechanics of it? So interestingly enough, Kabbalistically, the Maharal, in his introduction to Gvuras Hashem, which of course is an introduction to his the Haggadah, describes that there were two modes of operation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has of the world. One was Ma'aseh Bereishis, how he fashioned the world, so to speak, the mechanics of the world, and the other one is how he interacts with the world, and that is, let's say, Yetzias Mitzrayim, how he leads the world itself. And the Maharal points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to see him through the way he leads the world, which is why so many of our things are Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, not Zeicher Lebriyas Olam. We remember the way that he leads us rather than the way he creates us. Not only because there weren't so many people there to witness that, but also because, in fact, that's the Barav Am, that's where most people can see, most people can appreciate, whereas it's only individuals who can appreciate Ma'aseh Bereishis. And that's why Lahalacha, the Mishnah tells us in Chagiga, that a person should not be teaching Ma'aseh Bereishis, the ideas, the Kabbalistic underpinnings of the world, Ba'am, in among people. Can only be taught in very small groups, that's not the way to talk about it. But what is available for the Am, what is available for the Barav Am, is seeing HaKadosh Baruch in his hand in nature, his hand in our lives. That is something which requires there to be everybody to see it and to see it together. Last pasuk we're going to focus on is pasuk Lamed Daled. Again, as you can see, every single pasuk is replete with ideas, and we're just touching the surface. It is an invitation to obviously spend much more time over here. The pasuk reads Tzedakah Teremem Goy VeChesed LeUmim Chatas, that righteousness will exalt a nation, and sin is reproach, was negative to any people. What does this mean? So there's a number of different understandings of this. We're two very interesting topics that this pasuk opens up, a Pandora's box. The Drasha Saran Rabbeinu Nissim in the Drasha Zion opens up the topic where he says, can you be a good person without the Torah? Is it possible to be a person who is following the right way without the guidance of the Torah? The one hand, you may say, well, of course you can. So he says, yes, you can, but it's likely you're going to make a mistake. I once heard the following example. Imagine you're walking through the fields, and we're talking in a time where not everything is mapped out and owned by government or individuals. You know, take it 200 years ago, you're walking through the fields, you see an apple tree, you take an apple off the apple tree, and the owner jumps out with a shotgun and says, how dare you eat my apples? The trespassers are going to be harmed here. So he says, well, there's no sign saying this is your tree. He says, there absolutely is. He says, there's not. I never saw one. So the man walks you back tens of feet, and he says, look, there's a fence here. And then he suddenly gets surprised. He said, there's no fence. He walks to the left five feet, there's a fence. He walks to the left 10 feet, there's a fence. You happen to walk through the gap in the fence. So now, on the one hand, are you liable for, do you have to pay for eating the fruit? Yes. Were you doing the wrong thing? No, because you didn't know. But you still were eating somebody else's fruit. That's what the Ran says is over here, is that yes, can you be good without the Torah? Yes, you can, but you're likely to make many mistakes because you just don't see where the fences are. So you need to know the principles in order to be able to do it right, which is why Chesed Le'umim Chatos is a reproach to any people. It's not always you're going to end up at the right place. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Yud Amud Beis, brings up a far more heavy discussion around this topic, and it focuses around another idea, and the idea is as follows, is can we accept tzedakah, can we accept charity from the nations of the world? Is that a good thing or is that not a good thing? And the Gemara suggests that, in fact, it's not a good thing. Chesed le'umim chatas, it is bad to accept charity. And this is something which brings up the ideas of reparations, war reparations. Do we accept these kind of things from the nations of the world? The Gemara seems to be pretty clear that one should not. And part of that is that even though it seems to be coming from a good place, ultimately it is not coming from a good place necessarily. It brings with it leverage, it brings with it complications, it brings with it the twisted, complicated background that comes with it. So this is obviously a bigger topic in halacha and cannot be explored on one foot here, but it is certainly something to bear in mind is being raised by Mishlei, and that is the chesed le'umim, the chesed of the nations around us and our relationship to that, especially in our time and age. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.